I am a huge fan of the Skit Guys. And as soon as I recognized what this sermon was going to be about, I immediately thought of that clip. I encourage y'all to go look at it. If you can search on YouTube, Designate 6, the Skit Guys. It is hilarious. It's about a 12-minute clip, and I wish I could have shown more, but just for time purposes, I tried to trim it down as best I could. But this morning, we are looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. And if you would, if you are able, please stand in reverence for the reading of God's word. Deuteronomy 6, beginning with verse 1. This is the command, the statutes and ordinances the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you so that you may follow them in the land you are about to enter and possess. Do this so that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life by keeping all his statutes and commands I am giving you, your son, and your grandson, so that you may live a long life. Listen, Israel, and be careful to follow them, so that you may prosper and multiply greatly, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you a land flowing with milk and honey. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. You may be seated. Family Sunday. Y'all have already heard from me plenty this morning of just how much I have been looking forward to this morning. I've actually been looking forward to this for a whole year now, and not just because it gives me the opportunity to preach during the service, but because I wholeheartedly believe in the importance of family ministry here at JHBC. And as I've already mentioned this morning, Family Sunday is not just about parents and kids. It's about the importance and significance of the faith family as well. So I hope everyone here today listens to what this passage has to say, because there's application for you too. I was so incredibly blessed to grow up in a Christian household, and I don't take that for granted. I am grateful that my parents made church the highest priority in our lives. Whenever we were on vacation over a Sunday, we would make sure that we would find a church somewhere that we could get to worship in that Sunday. Anytime the doors were open, we were in the church. And my parents, when they would inevitably ground me for one reason or another, I know, it's a shocker that your associate pastor was not the perfect child, but when they would ground me, they would never take away church as a punishment, because they knew the significance and the importance of it. See, you might be listening right now and think the direction of the sermon is the church should be the highest priority. And I'm not arguing that that's wrong. However, the title of the sermon this morning is, It Is Your Job. All right, pop quiz. How many hours are in a week? My expert math source tells me that there are 168 hours in a week. This is demonstrated by these ping pong balls. Y'all finally have the answer now. These ping pong balls, there are 168 ping pong balls in this vase, or punch bowl. I promise Frida it will return safely to the kitchen. But this vase represents the amount of hours that your children are under your care. 168 hours. And I just want to focus things into a bit of perspective for a moment. If you are fully dedicated and your children are here every time that the doors are open, here at JHBC at least, what that means is 1 hour for Sunday school, 1 hour for worship service, and Awana and youth are typically an hour and a half to maybe 2 hours, and so I just went ahead and said 2 hours for Wednesday night service. 4 hours out of the 168. That comes out to only 2.38% of the entire week. My question to parents is, do we really want to rely on this 2.38% for the spiritual foundation of your children? Our scripture this morning, specifically verses 4 through 9, has become a central prayer in Judaism. It's called the Shema, or hear, after its opening word, because it expresses in so few words the most important ideas in Old Testament religion. Not only that, but Shema in Hebrew expresses more than just hear. Let me explain this in a way that most households will probably understand and relate to. Parents, have you ever told your kids to do something, but they don't seem to be paying attention? For instance, chime in whenever y'all think you understand where I'm going with this. Nick, take out the trash. Nick, did you hear me? Did you hear me? See, there's a difference between listen and hear. Hearing produces obedience. That's what Shema means here. It's an attention grabber to tell the Israelites that there is some important truth that they need to know right here. The first truth is that the Lord our God, He is one. Other translations put it as the Lord our God, the Lord alone. He is the only God who is, period, end of story. The Israelites were to take this command with them into the promised land, where they were going to be surrounded by a culture that did not believe in just one God, but many gods. Sound familiar? In a culture today that teaches these things, that there are many ways to heaven, that there is no absolute truth, and that we are all gods. Yes, that is a very real truth that is becoming prevalent today, that the world is trying to tell our kids is truth. Guess what, parents? This is what your children are listening to if they listen to the world. And if we aren't combating that in the home, let me just tell you, they are getting more thoughts in their heads from the truths of the world than the truths of the faith if we are relying on this 2.38%. This is why it is so important for us to understand that the church is supplemental, not primary, in your child's spiritual formation. The second foundational idea of the Old Testament religion is the first and greatest commandment: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. In Matthew chapter 22, when the Pharisees asked Jesus, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" Jesus points back to this very commandment. If Jesus acknowledges this part of the Shema, the ancient prayer of total commitment to the Lord, as the greatest commandment of the law, shouldn't we want to have a deeper understanding of what it means here? I mean, we can kind of grasp the idea of what it means to love the Lord with all our heart and all our strength, but what does it mean to love the Lord with all our soul? Well, we can have a little bit of a deeper understanding of this scripture if we look at the meaning of soul, or in Hebrew, I'm probably going to mess this up, nefesh. This word, when boiled down to its basic core, means life. Love the Lord your God with your whole soul means we should love the Lord with our lives, moment by moment, for our whole lives. Not just Sundays and Wednesdays during church, not just on Christmas and Easter, not just when we feel like it. Loving the Lord with our whole soul means loving the Lord on good days and bad days and every day in between. How many of us are thankful for a God who loves us through life's highs and lows, who not only loves you, but wants what's best for you? Loving God with all our life is not a wishy-washy love. It's not controlled by feelings. It is a love born out of a decision and a choice. It is a commitment to love God with and in every part of our lives, including our parenting. Here's the thing about this passage. It doesn't stop at the command to love the Lord our God. It then goes on to say, these words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand, and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. As a parent, it is God's design for your home and your calling to pass along the truths of the faith to your kids. Verse 7 says, repeat them to your children. If we don't pass along the truths of the faith to our kids at home, they will grow up under the influences of the world. This may be the first time that you may have heard this, but please, let me be honest with you for just a second. The church is supplemental, not primary, in your child's spiritual formation. You as parents are God's design for ensuring your kids understand and grow in the faith. Proverbs 22:6 admonishes parents to train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will what? Not depart from it. Parents, we need to be faithful to train up our children in the faith. And as I thought about our church this week, I am actually overjoyed as I thought about the ways that we see this lived out. I love to see the multi-generational families worshiping, like the Hall family and the Angel family, where there are three or four generations worshiping within the same church, often within the same pew. I love to hear of the Cubby kids in Awana just begging Ramona and Sandy and the others to play the song House of the Lord while they wait for Miss Belinda. And I can see it in the faces of the choir when we all hear Luna belting out the chorus to Holy Forever. We are all almost in tears. These examples that I bring up, I do so because I know about them. I'm certain there are stories from others that I have no idea about. But I know these things. John Hall and Randy Angel were faithful to make sure their children were in church. They showed their kids what it means to serve God and the importance of a daily walk. I know House of the Lord has been Jace Alverson's favorite song, thanks to some Facebook videos. And now, granted, in some of those videos, he may have just been mimicking Pastor Scott, for better or worse, but but James and Sarah will probably also tell you that Jace doesn't always get it right or behave, but they have been faithful in leading Jace in his faith journey, even at 5 years old. And I know Tammy, whenever she is in her car, she is listening to her choir music. And Luna has picked up on those songs. It brings such joy to hear Luna singing at the top of her lungs to our Almighty King as if nobody else is around, just her singing to our God. I sum up all of these examples with one word: intentionality. Each of these were intentional with their time with their kids and grandkids. They didn't create time in their already busy schedules to teach their kids. They used the times they already had in their schedules with intentionality. For example, Tammy, she loves to listen to music and as she's driving. And so instead of listening to the oldies or country music or rock, she chooses to listen to the music that Luna will hear at church. That's using her time with Luna with intentionality. Training up your child does not happen by accident. I wish training did happen by accident, though, sometimes. I wish I didn't have to wake up early in the morning to go to the gym. I wish I didn't have to train myself to stop drinking sodas and only drink water. I wish that stuff would just miraculously happen. Wouldn't that be nice? Now, training is something that happens with intentionality. You don't just wake up one morning super buff and healthy. It takes hard work and it takes effort. I may not be a father yet, but I do empathize with parents, as I've worked with teens and their families over the past 7 years. You come to church, and the pastors tell you it's your job to lead your homes. And you may even fully understand that, but have no clue where to begin. This is where the church needs to step up and help. And this is exactly what we're doing starting today. Today, we launch the intentionality campaign that we are calling Car, Table, Bed. The purpose behind this campaign is coming directly from our scripture this morning, directly from Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, which reads, "Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you rise up." What are the three or four times that the scripture describes you are supposed to talk about this with your children? When you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you rise and when you rise up and when you lay down. What are the four times that most families are together during the day? When you're in the car with your kids, when you're at the dinner table, and when you are putting them to bed. Car, table, bed. Get it? So what is car, table, bed? Car, table, bed is going to be a verse of scripture that we as a whole church are going to focus on and attempt to memorize every single week. The point of this is when you are in your car, at the table, and putting your kids to bed, you are reading this verse with them and hopefully having some discussions about it. Hopefully three times a day, hopefully 7 days a week. Each Sunday morning, we will release a new verse of the week. We will open our 11 o'clock worship service with it, and it will be printed in the Bulletin Weekly, as well as published in the Family Ministry Portal in the Church Center app. I encourage you to write this verse even on an index card or a piece of paper and put it in each of those main places so that when you look at it, it reminds you. So, Pastor Nick, why are we even doing this? Well, I'm glad you asked. The first reason is because of what we see right in the scripture, so that you might have a long life. Right there, it is promised to us that if we heed this commandment and these words, we will have a long life. Another reason we are doing this is because of some statistics, good and bad. I know y'all know the statistic of 79% of Christians accept Christ as their Savior before the age of 18. I drilled that into you before Vacation Bible School. But do you also know this statistic? Almost 70%, hear me, almost 70% of high school graduates, when they graduate and they leave the youth group, never return to the faith. That was actually a study done 5 years ago, and I'm scared to see what that number is today. While we grieve and mourn the statistic, car, table, bed is one step in action we can take to hopefully bring that needle back into our favor. The final reason I see for doing this is not just for a long life, as the scripture has promised us, but for a rich long life. A long life that is filled with misery is not worth living. Amen? Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5 say, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb as a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate." Now, I didn't ask John Hall, but I'm sure that being able to sit in church with his children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, that has to be such a blessing and such a rich life. Okay, but this is good and all for those who have kids. I'm not in that stage, or we're empty nesters now. Why should we care about this? You may not have kids. Most of you have grandkids, though. You can continue to teach the faith to them. One of the most important things you can do is you can pray for them every night. It's actually super cool. Mark was telling me a story recently of he was talking with a younger person, And when he asked if he could pray for them, he looked right back at Mark and said, "My grandparents pray for me." That seed was planted in this child many years ago, so that when he came further down the road, he would recognize it. I know of many pastors who, if it had not been for praying grandparents, would not be in the ministry. Grandparents, your role isn't done just because they're out of your house. The scripture even says that. "By keeping all his statutes and commands that I am giving you, your son, and your grandson, so that you may have a long life." And you may not have kids, but I know that you care about the kids that are running around this church. And let me also just take a moment to say, praise God that we have so many kids in our church. And also praise God that almost 50 kids and students we get to minister to every single week through Awana and Heights Student Ministry. But a little closer look. As I was looking at the duties of committees this past nominating committee cycle, I looked at the family ministry team. The duty is broken down into two simple objectives that I've already mentioned this morning. It's to equip the parents to lead their home well and to promote the faith family fellowship community here at JHBC. What does that mean? It means we are wanting the body of believers here at JHBC to be unified. After all, the Bible calls us to, in our diversity, be one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13 say, "For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink." While we are many different parts of the body, we are one in Christ. We want to promote that community and fellowship by having a unified goal and objective over the next year. As I close out this morning and as the praise team starts to make their way, I want to present the following challenge to our church. Will you, for 1 year, commit to Car Table Bed? Now remember, we're not asking you to create more time in your already busy schedule to do this. We are simply challenging you to become more aware and intentional with your time. Will you commit to every week promoting a memory verse within your household? I'm not concerned if you miss a day, because I know schedules are busy, things happen. I encourage you, though, to get back up, brush yourselves off, and strive to continue to promote that verse throughout the week. If you will commit to 1 year with us of Car Table Bed, I ask that you take this time, as Scott and the team lead us in one last song, to pray for your household. As Joshua told the Israelites, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Take this time during this next song to say, today we are committing ourselves to what God has for us, and we are going to be intentional with our time. Whether it's right there in your pew, around this altar, or if you want to come pray with me, won't you use this time to pray as a family, as a household? And if you don't know what I've been talking about this morning, about this Jesus and all these commandments and whatnot, and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, come talk to me. I can think of no better day than today to be certain and to start your faith journey. Perhaps you've been checking out JHBC for a while now and want to make today that day that you join the church body as your place to serve. Won't you come? Whatever the Lord is calling you today, whether it's to commit your family to Car Table Bed or commit your life to Christ, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?